Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 102. You get a bonus this week. If you were around on Monday, Drake and I did a lunchtime chat over Zoom. Some of you got to join and watch the live episode happen as we recorded it. For those that weren't able to make it, here is what that episode was. It was a good half hour of fun. Sit back, relax, enjoy the bonus episode for the week. Have a day.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans. Kluver tells me this is episode 102 of the podcast, but what it really is episode one of something we're trying called Visiting Hours. And it's a way that we came up with the idea to interact with you guys a little bit more and get everybody through these days of quarantine and all this coronavirus bullshit and stuff. So we figured we can put out some pretty fun content that has to do with you guys, since you're really the only reason we do this thing, because people want to hear the stories that we have. So man, I don't really know where this is going to go, but let's get into it.
Yeah, this is so for everyone out there right now, it's this is basically going to be run by you guys. So I want you guys to, at the bottom of the screen, if you've never done the Zoom meeting before, there's a little chat bubble. Hit the chat. I've already talked to Charlie in there, and Nathan responded as well. Anything you guys want to talk about, go for it. We can talk about the Greenway episode that came out this morning. Hopefully you guys have gotten a chance to listen to that. If you haven't yet, I think it's one of the best episodes that we've ever done. I think Drake made a tweet that if you haven't listened, or you don't think it's the best episode, if you don't listen to the episode, then you're the redheaded stepchild of all Iowa fans.
Which is the truth. Like, if you don't want to hear us have a great 90 minutes with Chad Greenway, then you're a redheaded stepchild.
Yeah, you are. Kevin is not here, and for those that listen on a regular basis, that shouldn't be a surprise. It just shouldn't be. He actually hasn't responded to us all day, which he mutes our conversation during the day, and then like at night or when he gets a chance, that's when he comes and actually answers. He's like the responsible like adult of the group, and it is what it is. So, first question already in the chat: how far does it put CFB teams behind if there is not any spring practice. Yeah, we talked about this one right before all that shit went down, didn't we, Drake, with Alex on the thing?
Yeah, we talked about the fact that just everything was canceled, and the fact that Iowa didn't have spring ball was like, we were envious of it because spring ball sucks ass. But like, if a team gets to have spring ball and other teams don't, like, that's a huge leg up.
Yeah, it's so I know like Nebraska does spring ball really early. They had like 1 week left of spring ball.
They need it.
And they could use about 20 weeks of spring ball. And yeah. I don't know if
them fucking kids, they might as well put them in spring practice up until camp starts. Start camp.
Just nine on in blocks all the way till August from here on out.
Anybody at school already lacks brain cells.
Yeah, it's a tough one. So here's the thing, is like some schools already got to participate in spring ball. My question is, Is the NCAA going to allow practice during the summer? Or like
this is unprecedented, dude. So the Iowa team is off, right?
Yeah.
Coach Woods used to have roots in Arizona, has a bunch of friends down here. Him and his family got out of Iowa, came down to Arizona. Just the other day, Coach Woods was me and him were eating chicken out on my back porch talking about the good old days.
Wow.
And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so he was just, this is unbelievable. He's like, we don't know what's going on. He's like, none of us have to go to work. We're not allowed to go to work. Like, football is shut down.
Yeah, it's insane. Like,
so since nobody's ever been through this before, I don't think there's a set of rules. Like, they're just going to make shit up as we go.
That's what I'm thinking, too. It's like, you can't tell – I don't know. In my eyes, you can't tell people that they can't practice during the summer when teams like Nebraska or whoever else that got into a spring ball right as the semester started, they were able to get their spring ball in. I don't think it's fair to the teams who didn't get a chance to practice. Like, it's a major deal, in short, to answer your question. Spring ball is the start of – spring ball is so big for the unexperienced guys. Anybody who's been on the field, and Drake can give his thoughts on this too, but anybody who's been on the field and has gotten experience, they've felt the flow of the game, they've been able to play Division I football and got meaningful reps. It's not as important, but if you're trying to win a spot, for example, my brother stepping in this semester as his first semester in the program, it's so huge. It's the first stepping stone. It's 5 weeks to go show what you can do. And for the young guys who are battling to go from fourth to third string or third string to the two deep, it's massive. I would say, Drake, you probably made a lot of your strides in one or spring ball or the other. You can talk about it.
So me and spring ball didn't get along very well because my sophomore year or our sophomore year spring ball going into what would have been 2016, I didn't have that good of a spring ball because Desmond was just shitting on me. Desmond was a really hard guy to block, right?
Yeah.
And he knew how bad I wanted to block him, and he knew that he also didn't always have to play by the rules. So rather than taking on the block sometimes, he would just do like the best Matador impersonation of all time. And I would be on my face because I wanted to hit him so bad. And because I was way overextending myself. I was still a young kid, had never played, felt all the pressure, everything like that. And Desmond was shitting on me. So that was not a great spring for me. And then I also missed a spring because I broke my leg in half. So
you did happen to break. Desmond was so good at ducking.
He was so good, dude. He was so hard to block. It was like he made me look bad on film so many times. It was so embarrassing.
Yeah, it's all right. He plays for the Chargers.
And he's a first team all pro.
Yeah. To answer your question, it's massive. Like Drake said, they're gonna have to do something. It's unprecedented, the times, obviously. I mean, we're doing a group chat of almost 20 people right now because no one's at work and obviously everything's crazy. I don't know. And I am very glad that I am not the person that has to figure out the rules going into this next season for the for the whole NCAA. Favorite Iowa player growing up? Man, I was a big Robert Gallery fan, which doesn't really make a lot of sense because I wasn't a lineman. I never played line. My dad was a lineman. Robert Gallery was kind of just that like larger-than-life figure. I was a big basketball fan too. Big Greg Brunner fan. Adam Haluska. I love a lot of the old school Hawks. Greenway yesterday, I told him at the – I mean, we literally told him at the end of the podcast, like, yo, we – literally modeled our playing after you. So that's a big one for me.
I'm going to say I really loved Sean Green. I really loved Tyler Sash. Drew Tate, the stories of Drew Tate just being a total legend.
Yeah.
I don't know. See, growing up, I was also a Notre Dame fan because my dad went to the University of Notre Dame. So obviously you just kind of like follow in your parents' footsteps. So I was a big Brady Quinn guy back then, and Jeff Samardzija, loved those guys. But I don't know. There's a couple.
The next one is, do you think that all coaches are actually honoring the no work stuff? I bet Michigan State is practicing like normal. I can guarantee that's not happening.
And yeah, they're not practicing for sure.
The only reason that – I guarantee that every coaching staff – in the country is sitting in their meeting rooms trying to talk to each other about how they can game the system and how much they can get away with without getting in trouble. But the problem with practicing, because I thought about this too with Iowa when kind of the NCAA hadn't really, there was no like full on rules for everybody. All the schools were just doing their own thing. You can't hide, like you just can't hide a practice of 100+ players and 30 staff. You can't hide that. Someone's going to figure that out. Even if you do it in the indoor facility, someone's going to notice that there's 100 some massive dudes flocking to the complex, you know, every day at a certain time. Like there's probably reporters lurking around trying to get a story because they know that they don't have anything else to talk about at this time either. So there's just no way, like, there'd be no way to hide that.
I know that Coach Ferentz is playing by the rules because he just plays by the rules.
Yeah, KF's going to play by the rules because that's KF. Do you believe that there's an Iowa bias? I'm not sure. Yeah. Mark, I'm not sure what you're asking about as far as an Iowa bias.
Like a bias against Iowa players.
Oh,
like
here we go.
Iowa player.
Sorry, yeah. I didn't scroll down. There was more underneath. I was thinking about Luka not being – named a runaway favorite or not being a runaway for the Wooden Naismith, not getting Big Ten Player of the Year, Keith not getting the Groza, Brad Banks not getting the Heisman. That's a good question. I think it's so tough for Iowa. It's actually not tough. There's 27, I think Josie was number 27 or 28 on the All American wall. In the complex, I think that those national awards, it's so tough to be the number one guy. If for those that listen to the Keith or the Miguel Racinos episode, you heard us talk about how Miguel and I had both been in contact with Keith, and he had mentioned that there was literally the deck was stacked against him with the committee. You know, there's 200 some people on the Groza committee and half of them are SEC constituents. And they were basically telling Rex Specs from Georgia that he won the award before they ever announced it. So I don't know. With Garza, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I think Garza should be – there's Iowa's never going to get like that one guy that's just – 100% runaway favorite. Like if there's an Iowa guy in the mix, the narrative is always going to be that someone else is better because they play for a better name brand school. I don't know what you think about that, Drake, but
yeah, I think there's a bias. Well, there's an SEC bias period in football, and that's like pretty blatant. I don't think that there's necessarily a bias against the Big Ten in basketball. Everybody kind of respects Big Ten basketball as being the premier conference, but Iowa just has been such a middle of the pack team for so long. And what Luka does is kind of Tim Duncan-esque. in the way that he's a very fundamental guy and he just doesn't do anything flashy. And
yeah,
maybe the kid that they were like from Dayton was like a top 4 or 5 program this year. And this kid's a high flyer. And I mean, he looks really good doing what he does. So I think that there's maybe a bias against Iowa in basketball just because we haven't had that much success.
I would say so for sure on that one. Especially on a team who, it's like, I don't know. Garza, in my mind, you look at the numbers, what he's done against the Big Ten all year, or what he did against the Big Ten. It's so sad that the season ended, first of all. But yeah, you're right. Garza isn't like slashing the lane and throwing down like a 360 windmill. Like, he's not that kind of guy. He's going to back you down and put it up off the glass and do that 12 times a game. Like, the numbers don't lie. It's kind of like Keith. The numbers don't lie. You kind of have to just hope that the voters aren't stacked against you like they were with Keith and they just make the right decision. Because I don't think, you know, Dickie V, he put out his tweet. For those that put stock in the KenPom ratings, they came out with their National Player of the Year. It was Garza. I don't think it's really, in my mind, it's not a close race, but I don't get to vote, so I'm just a podcaster.
Yeah, it's not close in my opinion either.
The intro music, did you guys create it or was it chosen from a library? Kluver, how long did you do your homework and research with Chad Greenway? So that's funny. That's a good question. The music, if you go to YouTube and type in JPB High, like as in smoke weed, get high, JPB High, the song will come up. You can find the song. It's in the YouTube free music library. And I just cut the intro of that and down to like a minute. And for those that were here in the beginning, like you heard me just run the music. We just run it and then it kind of juices us up as we come in. So yeah, it's just free music from YouTube. We definitely don't have the talents to create something like that. And then how long did I do research on Chad? I obviously, from being in the program, knew a bunch about Chad, was obviously a fan of his growing up. I wanted to make sure for that episodes like that, or like the other high profile guests that we've had, like Werfs or Stanley, we usually do know, like, just like we did today, we just sat down, got on here, started talking. We usually don't do a whole lot of preparation. But for those that I know are going to be popular episodes, I don't want there to be – I think I texted Drake and Kevin yesterday and I said, hey, it's like, make sure you guys both have a couple questions for Chad as well, because if there gets to a point where a lull happens, I don't want this episode to go flat. Like, it needs to hit. And so I, for like an hour and a half before we recorded the episode, put down a bunch of talking points. And I think, you know, it was episode 100. So I'm trying to get better at this thing. Drake is getting a lot better at this thing. Kevin doesn't show up again, so he sucks. but as you, after 100 episodes of this, you kind of learn how to connect certain parts of the episode, go back 20 minutes to something the guy had said, and then relate it to something that just came out of their mouth, and that the episodes start to flow a little bit better. If you go back and listen to those first 10 episodes, man, they weren't good. They were not good at all.
I won't go back and listen to them.
I won't either. Charlie said, so what you're saying is you didn't break your leg for no spring ball.
No, I'm saying I did exactly that. I broke my leg for no spring ball.
On purpose.
As I was riding off on the cart, I should have been chanting no spring ball.
No spring, no spring ball. Nathan, if you were still with the team, how would you guys handle the current situation without being able to practice with the team? What would you do to improve? Another great question. My brother lives in Ankeny. They got sent home and they have no idea when they're allowed to come back. And from what I understand, Coach Doyle, obviously being the GOAT, gave him a card for the entire semester. How would you like that, Drake? He gave him an entire semester worth of a card.
It would have felt like I was back at Muscatine High School as an 18-year-old waiting to go into the program with those spiral notebooks they sent us. You remember that?
Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think
spiral notebook workouts.
I think I still have it.
I gave it away to friends. So a couple of Doyle's spiral notebooks are floating around with my Muscatine friends.
Damn, the secrets, the secrets are out. Guys would handle that very differently. Those who were committed and those who, and I'm sure Doyle expressed the importance of it as, you know, the team left. Those who are committed would find a way to get it done. I know a lot of former teammates that Drake and I had who would have gotten home and immediately forgotten where they put their lifting card, and they wouldn't have touched a weight probably until they went back.
Yeah, there's some guys that get pregnant every single time that somebody
goes. Yeah, so the joke on that one is and we said his name in the episode when we talked about it, so I'll say it here. It's a funny story. Terrence Harris was a D lineman for us. He didn't finish through the program, but he was there a couple years. I think 16, 17, somewhere around there. And in a 5-day span, he came back from like July 4th break and had gained 14 pounds.
It was like ridiculous.
And we always, if you're a bodyweight guy, the sheet's posted. Everyone knows who misses bodyweight for the week. And so everyone knew Terrence like was plus 14 on the sheet. And if something that anomaly happens, Coach Ferentz is going to make a comment. So at the end of like the first workout back from July 4th, Coach gets up there. He's like, "Hey guys. Yep. It's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify. One of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. He's saying his stuff, and he gets to the end. He's like, "All right, and we just got back from break, okay? And I know it's tough. It's a lot easier to control your body weight when you're here at the complex. You're here in Iowa City. But when we go on a break, right, we can't have guys getting fucking pregnant, okay? We had a guy get pregnant over these last 6 days. Terrence, how'd you gain 14 pounds, huh?" And everyone's dying laughing. And it was kind of like this just situation where
don't get pregnant, man.
Yeah, if you don't stay on top of it, it's not easy to do what Doyle gets you to do when you don't have Doyle there. So for the guys that are disciplined, it works out. For the guys who aren't, probably pay a price for it. Have you ever tried to get Austin Blythe on an episode? Wasn't a walk-on, but an awesome guy. Austin Blythe is a awesome dude. I have talked to him about him coming on the podcast. As a lot of you guys, if you come up with a name, we've probably reached out to them about eventually doing an episode when they have time, or we've at least thought about. I have a massive list on my computer of guys, like basically every guy who ever played. We're trying to get to them. We only do two a week, and
there's like 100 and 200 guys that we want to talk to.
Yeah, there's like 200 guys that we played with alone. Not even counting like guys like Greenway and legends like that. We could go on and on. So Blythe will be on for sure. Maybe we'll try and get him on sooner than later. This is fun. Thanks for doing it. I got a bail. Oh, no problem, Lane. Pretty cool that during this crazy time, we can do something like this and at least produce a little bit more content. Colin, what books did you guys read while being a part of the program? Slight Edge, David Goggins, how did they help the team building, self-accountability? So unfortunately, Goggins' book was not out when we were playing, but I read Goggins' book. Drake, I'm not sure he's a reader.
I was a part of Doyle's book club. I read every page of the books that he gave us because I knew he was going to test us on it.
Well, yeah.
Other than that,
So I've read Goggins' book since being out of the program. Incredible book. I wouldn't doubt that the team is reading it. It's not so much focused on a team-based concept like some of the other stuff is. It's extreme ownership from Jocko Willink. Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday. Obstacle is the Way is another one by Ryan Holiday. Traveler's Gift.
Gift was sweet.
Traveler's Gift. I'm not sure who that's by, but that was another one. You Win in the Locker Room First is, I'm pretty sure, one of the titles to the books.
First Team First or something like
that? Yeah, I don't remember. We read one, a great one, about the All Blacks rugby team in Australia, or not Australia, New Zealand is oh, shit. What was it called?
It's called the All Blacks book.
No, it was called Legend or Legacy.
Legacy.
That's a really good book as well. What would be one past Iowa player that you both wish you could have played with? Oh, man. After talking to Chad Greenway yesterday, having Bob Sanders on my team is like maybe the ultimate dream. I don't know who else I rather would want. Stansy would have been cool.
I think mine would probably be Sean Green, just so I could block for Sean Green.
Yeah, that'd be dope. He didn't need blocking, but it would have been
cool.
Doesn't
matter, bro.
Iowa has that culture that those hard-nosed, smart, do-it-right guys on the field sometimes feel like there are some talented guys that come in and don't see them get on the field much and sometimes don't even make it through the program. Any names that were in the program when you boys went through that were freaks but just didn't have Iowa mentality? Yeah, there's a lot of guys that are like that. You're right. And I'm not going to, like, rat any guys out.
Yeah, I wasn't going to snitch either.
But I will say one, and it's because he's had success post-Iowa. And it wasn't that he was a bad guy or anything. But Derek Willis was an incredible athlete. He even scored a touchdown against Ball State.
Really, like, a game winner.
It was a game winning I mean, he was – if without Derek Willis, we don't win that game. And he was a guy who – you know, the Iowa way and him just didn't mesh, but he was still a great dude. One of the better athletes I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And for those that are like mad at those opportunities where it's like, dang it, if we just would have, I feel like sometimes the fans get mad that like the Iowa coaches push those guys away or something. It's not that they're being pushed away. It's just that the fit wasn't right. Right. So if those guys continued to stay in the program, they were never going to reach their full potential. It's almost a better thing that they went and found somewhere where they stuck. Willie's went on and had a really successful career for Texas Tech. And then I think he was even drafted or picked up by the Browns at one point. And dude's killing it. Like, but that's one name that comes to mind. Does Doyle have any phrases that when he says them, you know someone is in trouble? I mean... I don't know.
When he curses at, when he screams at you.
I'm trying to think.
Well, no, you're in trouble.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. When Doyle opens his mouth, you listen. That's the MO. Like, there's no phrase. The one thing about Doyle is he is the king, and Drake can echo this. Because it was just it's Doyle's thing. Doyle's the best in the world at two things: creating a culture for a college football program and just being a great strength coach. And then the second thing is he always has a comeback for anything or any excuse that you could ever give him. He has like a mental note, like the notes app in your phone. He has a mental note a mile long for every single one of his players of just dirt that he could throw at them, like some kind of shade where he can just take a little jab at you. For me, it was always CrossFit, short, long snapper. It, you know, like the list goes on, and he always, always had something to just like, he always got the last word. You never were going to get the last laugh on Doyle. And he, I mean, he's the GOAT. That's why he's the GOAT. What do you think about that, Drake?
I mean, by the time I was a senior, it was like, we had a pretty mutual respect that I was on my way out the door. Like I had been through some shit. So like we had a pretty profound mutual respect for each other where he could just like tell me he wanted to beat the shit out of me. And it wasn't a big deal. It
towards
was
the end. Funny. Yeah. Towards the end, it was like, as we've talked about it, as you gain your respect through the program, you get to one of those older years, your relationship turns into, it's still a coach player relationship, but when Doyle's in a good mood and kind of the state of the program is good and there's no other things to kind of focus on, there's no like agenda, you know, it's hard to explain, and people can kind of relax and chill out and just talk. Like Drake was on that kind of level where Doyle would say something and Drake would be able to say something like, Doyle, I could kick your ass or something like
that. Doyle and I had a very close connection through El Amito Tacos in Muscatine, because my guy Doyle used to take a dump on Muscatine every chance he could get. My kids, we were down in Muscatine for a baseball tournament or whatever it was, that piece of shithole, that, you know, this, that, and the other. But I got this guy hooked on El Amito Tacos. And so, to be honest, that's kind of what our relationship was based around at the end, was El Amito Tacos and bicep pumps.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Matt said, does Drake have anyone or anything he wishes to shit on today? Just the coronavirus in general?
I'm going to go with the fucking Generation X Spring Breakers, or Generation Z, or whatever generation we are.
Z, I believe.
Z. Those fucking cucks down on the beach that can't give up their spring break for a worldwide pandemic. Like, how about you snorkel my asshole?
Oh, for those that are in here right now, they're getting gold. It's just gold. Best athletic trainers you have the pleasure of known or worked with?
Russell Simmons.
Yeah.
Sir Russell Simmons.
We had some good, we had such a huge staff. All of our trainers were really great. And the best part about the trainers, I don't think the fans understand like how close of a relationship the coaching staff, the strength staff, and the training staff all have. They have a meeting every single week and they go – Any single guy with any type of nick or bruise or whatever, they go over every single case. And there's a plan for everybody, and everyone's on the same page. And so it makes it really easy to know, you know, in a huge organization like that, you have to be – communication is key, and they do a really good job at Iowa of that. So – what was it? Oh, good. Yeah. So intermittent fasting is going well. For those interested, the April challenge starts in just over a week. Email me.
Does it start on April 1st?
April 1st. Fasting is, for me personally, is going great. I have been intermittent fasting for almost 2 years now. And you guys saw the transformation picture. It's going pretty well.
He used to look like a big bowl of mashed potatoes and a Teletubby at the same time.
Yeah, I used to be Violet from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory after she ate the piece of gum and turned into a blueberry. And now I look better than that. What was it like tripping over the 1 yard line? Knew we weren't going to get past that one.
He didn't trip over the 1 yard line.
I tripped over about the five.
He reached for the 1 yard line. Yeah. Didn't quite make it that far either.
So if you've ever had a moment in your life where time slows way down, like way down, you you have a million thoughts in 1 second, and it seems like you went through every single thought in detail. The time that I knew I was going down, it was about from the 4 to the 2 yard line where I ended up. That amount of time where I had turned my head and I was looking at the goal line and I was trying to, and I was trying to reach out, but I knew I wasn't going to get there. You have no idea how many thoughts I had and how many expletive words were going through my mind. It was like a near death experience where your life flashes before your eyes. And my death was that of when I got on Twitter, long snappers, coaches, fans across the country were making fun of me for not scoring a touchdown. And I died that day. So that's that.
That was tremendous.
Yeah. All right. Let's get through these last couple and then we'll call it a day on the visiting hours with Drake and Tyler. Best thing about going to the new football facility, I would say the hot tubs and the way the building was built, in a way that it flowed really easily with the daily activities of what we were asked to do. So the meeting rooms were right upstairs. You walked right down the hallway to the eating room, downstairs, the training room, locker room, equipment room was laid out, and it was all, you had access to everything. They made the building so that the daily activities flowed very well. And I loved getting in the hot tub every day. What about you, Drake?
I'm going to go with locker room because our corner in the locker room was the best in Iowa football history. Nobody will ever have a better corner set up than what we had back there. And then I'll go weight room and refueling station for sure.
Yeah. Walking into the weight room and having food in there was fantastic. Any good poker stories as of late, Drake?
Nah, man, I haven't been playing any poker. Went to real estate school, got that shit taken care of so that I can do some real estate investing. It's going to be some good times to get some rental properties, things like that. So
there you go.
Decided to take a little different route. Poker was getting boring. You know, we'll go back eventually though.
Yeah. Is the Kluver Gym Corona free? Also, are you accepting new members? The bands at home are just not cutting it. The Kluver Gym isn't even up to snuff with what I'd like it to be. It is Corona. Well, I can't guarantee.
It's not Corona free.
I can't guarantee it's Corona free. You got to give me about 10 more days. I was in Mexico and traveling through the airport.
International travel, man.
Yeah. You know, I definitely have more than some bands, but probably not accepting new members because I'm already training a couple. I got me, my wife, my brother, my cousin, who are all going to be working out here on certain days of the week. And
I'll tell you what, man, if you could get some people coming through fucking 8 o'clock, then 9 o'clock.
I could start running classes.
Your own personal gym class right out of there?
I don't have enough equipment for that. Not yet. We'll finish with this. When is Kevin coming back? At this point, he's probably quit the podcast. That's from Alex. Supposedly Kevin still has work. So,
yeah, I mean, the hospitals aren't closed. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. But Tyler, even though you didn't score, the crowd noise level was incredible those few yards. I didn't hear a damn thing. I heard nothing.
I heard myself howling in laughter.
Yeah, fuck you.
Dude, I don't want this to stop. This is fun because now I got to find other shit to do with my day.
Right. Well, this went well. We'll probably do it. Maybe not every day, but we'll do it again for sure. Finish. I'll finish on this.
Fantastic.
What?
There's a question down here that said Dane's Dairy.
Oh, Dane's Dairy. I came during the preseason.
Oh,
the best. It was the best day of the year. Dude. So, for those wondering. Dane's Dairy in Iowa City. I'm not sure the guy's full name. What was his name?
I don't know, man.
Something Dane. I don't know. They would cater like this do-it-yourself DIY ice cream bar to the complex every year. and you basically got to they had like pre-filled a bunch of like pretty good size cups. I mean, not enough for me.
Real good size.
They were still real good size. And then they just had a topping bar like you've never seen. Fresh cookie dough that they had made, syrups, strawberries, chocolate, caramel, Oreos, Reese's, everything. And you could just make your own ice cream, and it made camp just a little bit better. Just a little bit. You all right, Drake?
I think I just
All right. Well, I got to eat some lunch and then do some working out because can't just talk the talk. Got to walk the walk.
We'll be back for visiting hours again because this was fun and my days are more boring than probably a cow in a cattle lot.
Yeah. So thank you guys for joining us. If you had fun, go talk about it on Twitter when I talk about it so that more people can join us. It'd be insane if we could get like 50 or 100 people in here. That's it. Episode 102. This will be posted. So if you want to re-listen to it, it'll be posted as episode 102 is the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. As always,
visiting hours.
Yeah, but it's visiting hours, episode one with Tyler and Drake. And that's it. Hawks by a million. Heart don't have stars. Walk-Ons out.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.